Okay, Parshas Kisisa, and a reading to Rabbi Kramer's 7th grade class at Halb. I hope you're still in session. We're learning about Bezalel this week. Bezalel's destiny and our destiny. What I want to talk about is the whole concept of destiny, personal achievement, through the lens of the experience of Bezalel. Bezalel's relationship with the Mishkan is that he is the... What? What did he do?
Architect.
Exactly.
He's a builder.
He's the contractor. Bezalel is the contractor. Meaning, he has all the plans, right? The plans are given to him. The materials are given to him. But he's supposed to organize the labor to get everybody to do the things that they're supposed to do. So if you take a look at source number one from our Parsha, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Hukui L'Matei Yehuda, I have identified Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda, Va'amaleo, so Ruach Elokim. I filled him with the spirit of Hashem, Bechochma, Uvishvuna, Uvidas, Uvachol Malacha. He's got it all. Chochma, Bina, Das. Yes. About the wisdom, understanding, knowledge. No, that's what it is. Yes. So he's going to have the ability to manage all of the different crafts, lachshov, machshavos, which we rendered here as to work skillfully. I don't remember whether that my own translation or got it from somewhere. I did that one a while ago, but I think it's my own. Lasos bazahov, vakesef v'anachoshes, to work with gold, to work with silver, to work with nechoshes, which I rendered as copper alloy, because nechoshes does not exist in nature on its own. Meaning, nechoshes does. Copper does not. Copper is either alloyed with tin or with it's alloyed with, how does it work? Yeah, with either tin or nickel, and it comes out as either brass or bronze, which is why when you see the word nechoshes translated in translations of the Chumash, sometimes I'll translate it as copper, sometimes as brass, and sometimes as bronze, because no one really knows. But he's going to be able to direct the people and work with all of these things. Ubacharoshes Evan, as well as stonework, Haroshes Eitz, working with wood, Lasos Bachomalacha, to engage in every craft. He is going to be the one to run the show. Now, how do you win the contract to build the Mishkan? Right? You can't offer impressive plans because God's already giving you the plans. You can't come in with a low bid on the job because Hashem already, is directing everybody to give, and they're giving more actually than is even needed. You can't rely on connections because God pretty much knows everybody. So, how is it that you get the job? So what we're going to see are three complementary midrashim that present different ideas about how Bezalel got this job. And those midrashim are going to present us with a problem about the issue of destiny in Judaism and how it is that a person gets Hashem's favor. We clear? That's our question. Okay. Grade 7 class, you're clear? Okay. So take a look at source number 2. First medrash on this. All three midrashim you can see are, the three midrashim that we really want are numbers 2, 3, and 4 on the sheet. The one that's unnumbered, I don't know why I didn't number it, but don't worry about that. But numbers 2, 3, and 4 are the midrashim that we're gonna want here.
What's the time of this?
This is when the Jews. Well, one piece of it, of the time frame, is actually unclear. Meaning, the building of the Mishkan, or the assignment of building the Mishkan, happens at one of two possible times. Either it happens before Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, or it happens after the Egel. That's what's not clear. Unquestionably, the actual construction happens afterwards, after the whole Egel story, after the whole golden calf story. The problem is that as you go through the Parshios, Parshas Yisro is 6th of Sivan, 7th of Sivan, when you get the Aseres Hadibros, right? That's the big sound and light show. After which, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we're told, Moshe goes up the mountain. So all the instructions that are in Mishpatim, it's unclear exactly when we got them, but they seem to be presented before Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, 6th of Sivan, 7th of Sivan. Then Moshe goes up the mountain at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, and he comes down famously after 40 days, right? Because golden calf. Mm-hmm. That's recorded in Parashas Kisisa. In between, you get Truma and Tetzaveh, which are the instructions about building the Mishkan. But that doesn't make any sense, because Moshe's not there. Who's giving instructions? It doesn't make any sense at all. So, one of two things is happening. Either these instructions actually happened before he went up the mountain, and then you just need to understand why is it that we were told at the end of Mishpatim about Moshe going up, if he's not really going up until after Parshas Tetzaveh. That's one solution, though. The other solution is to say that actually all of it is post-Egel, it's post-Golden Calf, in which case then you have to ask the question, why is it that it's listed here before the events of the Golden Calf in Kisisa? To which the classic answer is, it's to give you a little bit of space between receiving the Torah and making the Golden Calf. It makes it somehow less painful that they went straight from one to the other. So the... And it wasn't straight, you had 40 days in between, but still. So the answer to your question is that the assignment of Bezalel to this role, if it took place during the instruction phase, could have been right after the Aseres Hadibros, before Moshe goes up, or could have been after the Egel, and then the subsequent sets of 40 days where Moshe gets forgiveness from Hashem, and you get the second set of Luchos and all that. Is that
before
the Egel or right after the Kapara for the Egel? That's the answer. Either way, your first year of Midbar, right? Your first year in the wilderness. Either you are effective. If you want to put a date on it, right? Either it is 6th of Sivan, 7th of Sivan, when Moshe has the Aseres Hadibros, or it's right after Yom Kippur, which is when the Egel story is wrapped up. Okay, those are your two options. Okay, so look at this medrash here in Shmos Rabba. Pasach Rabbi Tanchuma Bar Abba. Rabbi Tanchuma Bar Abba starts teaching this section by quoting a pasuk in Iyov. Az Ra'aba Yisafra, Hechinah V'gam Chokra. Pasuk says, then he, God, saw it and recorded it, prepared it, and analyzed it. So he says, what is that talking about? What was it that Hashem saw, recorded, prepared, analyzed? Tzafa Kadosh Baruch Hu v'ra sheyisra mekablin es haTorah. Hashem looked and anticipated that the Jews would receive the Torah, meaning at the time of creation. It's talking about Hashem planned it. Sheilu lekein, if it weren't so, lo bara haolam, he would not have created the world. And so it says, us back then, Ra'ava Yisabra. He saw it, he recorded it, and it continues to say, Vayomer la'adam, hein yiras Hashem, hi chochma v'sur me'rab binah. He said to man, reverence for God is wisdom, dot, dot, dot. So the Medrash begins by saying that Hashem plans from the very beginning that we are going to receive the Torah, and that's what creation is dependent upon. That's not the part that's directly relevant for us. It's the second half of this Medrash that is. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba continues to say, Mahu hein yiras Hashem hi chochma. What does it mean when the Pasuk says that reverence for God is wisdom, and as the Pasuk continues, and avoiding evil is understanding? What does that mean? Amar ha Elokim. God said, Im hayu lecha ma'asim tovim, ani nosem lecha sachar. If you have good deeds, if you possess good deeds, I'm going to reward you. And Rabbi Brachia then quotes Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba on this pasuk, saying an example of reward for good deeds. He says, first he says, Schar yira, he says, Schar hayira, Torah, the reward for reverence of Hashem is Torah. Shem biyocheved hamid HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Moshe. Because look at that. Yocheved is someone who has Yiras Hashem. How do you know Yocheved has Yiras Hashem?
Because she
wanted to separate.
Moshe.
No. How do we know that Yocheved has Yiras Hashem? Because Yocheved is supposed to be one of the Mialdos, the midwives. And it says about Tirena HaMialdos, that's how I look him. Right? The midwives had reverence for Hashem. So Yocheved has Yirah. Therefore, her descendant gets Torah. So that shows you Yiras Hashem is going to lead to Torah. And Miriam, Al Yedei Shesara Min Hara U Min Hachet, and because Miriam avoided evil and sin, right? Miriam is the other one of the Mialdos. of these midwives. Therefore, Hashem caused her to have Betzalel as a descendant, and so he gets Chachma and Bina. He gets these traits that make him eligible to build the Mishkan. The link to Eov here in this pasuk is just that the pasuk has Ra'ah, Vayisavra. Right? Then he saw Ra'ah, and we read in source number one, Re'e Karasi B'Shem, as well as the fact that the Pasuk here refers to Chachma and Bina, and the Pasuk with Bezalel in source number one referred to Chachma and Bina. I think that's what this Medrash is building on. In other words, it's building on the fact that with Bezalel we have the word Re'e, and we have Chachma and Bina that come to him, and this Pasuk in Eov has Hashem giving the idea of Ra'ah, Hashem saw, and it has Chachma Ubina, that these levels of wisdom will come to somebody who had Yiras Hashem. So it says that Yiras Hashem of Yocheved and of Bezalel lead to great understanding for their descendants, specifically Moshe and Bezalel. Upshot of this Medrash is that Miriam gets a grandson who will be builder of the Mishkan, who will be the contractor of the Mishkan. That's what emerges from there. The genealogy of it is Miriam marries Hur, and Bezalel is her grandson. Chronology is a little bit awkward when you think about it, just in terms of these generations, because that means that Miriam, when they come out of Mitzrayim, has a grandson who is old enough to run the show on the Mishkan in year one. But it's not crazy. I mean, Moshe was 80, so she was 86, right? So that's not, you know, to a grandson who's already mature. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people who were older, but he was young, but evidently, you know, capable. So that's your first Medrash, yeah.
He merited to be smart, have Chachma Bina and Das, because his grandmother and great-grandmother, or great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, had
yours at hand? Well, not he merited, because merit suggests he had merit. He gets these things because of their merit.
Got it.
Or specifically, Miriam's merit. No, Yocheved's merit leads to Moshe. Miriam's merit leads to, even though Yocheved is his great-grandmother. Right, but the Medrash links it to Miriam specifically. I think it wants Miriam to have her own, because, you know, she had her own Yiras Hashem. So Yochanan gets Moshe, which isn't bad, you know. But that's the idea, and this, of course, is going to have to lead to a question, which is: so does that mean that people who are great, right, are great because grandma did something, right? Not because of themselves, but because their grandmother had Yiras Hashem. That's what it sounds like, right? That's what it's saying, correct?
We did a parsha on this before, something similar.
On Yichus.
Yeah, no, Yichus comes up.
Yeah.
Definitely comes up.
With the Kohanim, right? No, what was it?
I don't remember either, so you're...
Does no one else remember?
No, they all remember. They just not. They don't need to be embarrassed.
No, on
the right. Yeah, they must be on the recording. Okay, later. So, that's one Medrash. Take a look at source number three. Take a look at source number three, second Medrash. Davar Acher, alternative view of how Bezalel gets this role. Re'e Karasi B'Shem. Karasi B'Shem Bezalel Ein Ksiv Kan. Ela Re'e Karasi. Right? Medrash picks up on that word Re'e. See that I have identified Bezalel. Omar Moshe Lemi Omar. Moshe says to Hashem, who exactly am I supposed to tell this to? Amar lo, ani, meaning to whom am I supposed to tell this to build the Mishkan? Amar lo, ani mara locha. Hashem said, I am going to show you the person who you're supposed to give all these instructions to. Umas ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Hevi lo sifro shel Adam harishon. Hashem brought Moshe the book of Adam. He showed Moshe all the generations from Bereshis all the way through to the resurrection of the dead, everybody. Dor dor umalachav, each generation had its kings. Dor dor umanhigav, each generation had its leaders. Dor dor unaviyav, each generation had its prophets. Amar lo kol echad ve'echad hiskanti me'os hashah. He says to Moshe, each one I picked from the beginning. I like that idea. Each one from the beginning. And I established Bezalel way back when. That's what it means when it says, see, I picked Bezalel.
Right.
See? Because it's there in the book.
Yeah. Like, let me show you.
Yeah. They're all there. They're
right. There's also, well, there are two elements to it. It's the word see, but also karasi, I already called. Not only is karasi like to read, I think it's just, but it's past tense. I already called him. I named him way back when.
And you hoped he would turn out to be great?
You're God, you don't hope.
Yeah. Oh, but what do you mean the book of Adam? Like, I'm very confused.
Right, so that's what I wanted to know. What is the book of Adam? So take a look, please, at source unnumbered, after number 3. And there you will find a basis for this idea. It's based on a pasuk in Bereishis, which is in Bereishis chapter 5, sentence 1, Perkei Pasuk Aleph. Zeh Sefer Toledos Adam. The Torah says, literally, this is the book of the products of man. That's your pasuk. So they quote a pasuk in Tehillim. Golmi ra'u einecha. This is David HaMelech speaking. He says to God, my raw form your eyes saw. My golem. Golem is the idea of a raw form, undifferentiated and undeveloped. Val sifracha kulam ikasevu. And on your book, God, all of them are recorded. Yamim yitzaru v'lo echad bahem. In days they will be formed, and to him all is one. It's actually written low with an aleph, but we read it as low with a vav. What in the world does that pasuk in Tehillim mean? David saying, God saw my form, what is recorded in his book. So if you read it by Simon explains, I'm going to stick with my English translation. He says, while Adam Arishon was still lying as a raw form before the one who spoke and created the world, Hashem showed him each generation and its dorshim. The word dorshim is some kind of orator, speaker, teacher. It doesn't really have a good English translation, so I chose to leave it as dorshim. Each generation and its dorshim, each generation and its hachamim, its sages, each generation and its sofrim, its scholars, sofer does not necessarily mean scribe, each generation and its manhigim, its leaders, shenemar, as the pasuk says, golmi ra'u einecha, my raw form your eyes saw, meaning God already saw me, David HaMelech, way, way back. Where was it recorded? In the book of Adam HaRishon. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. So the idea that this medrash is picking up on, which our medrash in number 3 is picking up on, is that in fact God has a book. It is a book in which the destinies of all human beings are recorded.
So then does the whole concept of the Chira and all of that get thrown out of the window, or does that still exist? Because it seems like it would conflict.
It does seem like it would conflict, doesn't it? Well, I mean, what's the easy answer?
It conflicts once every 6 months.
What's the easy answer? God's already seen it. He already watched the movie. He's already saw what you're going to do. Time is meaningless to God. It's not, you know, he's not within it. He's outside of it. So therefore, God has already seen you do it, and therefore he's recording it. The problem with the easy answer is that it robs it of its meaning. If that's true, that God only writes it because he's seen you do it, then it's not so impressive. The whole point is to say God had a book and he knew from the beginning and he had a plan of what was going to happen. The answer is this seems to say that, yeah, free will is not all it's cracked up to be. Now, you can make the argument that maybe it's only the leaders who are recorded there. That people who are at a certain, you know, stage of activity, God has actually set them in place. He said, I want this to happen. So, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinus of the world, you know, they're already set. The rest of us, you know, can do, you know, whatever it is that our Bechira leads us to do.
This doesn't say anywhere in the Medrash exactly anything about them. It just lists them.
Correct.
So, and if we were listed in this book, it still doesn't say what we did about them.
Is that true? I mean, just the fact that you are listed as the leader tells you something.
As the leader, but it's just, but as a generation, they're just like, but it breaks it down to like Manhigim and Sofrim and all of that.
Right, so then maybe the Manhigim is like you're saying.
Yeah, it sounds like it's more
from the generational perspective,
right,
from the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have two midrashim now. One says Bezalel gets the job of contractor for the Mishkan because of his grandmother. The second one says Hashem gives Bezalel the job of creating the Mishkan because it was in God's plan from the very beginning. Rei Karasi. And then a third and last medrash for this, which is going to seem to suggest genetics. Source number four. Alternatively, Rei Karasi B'Shem Bezalel. See, I have called the name of Bezalel. They link it to a pasuk in Koheles. Masha Haya Kevar Nikra Shemo. That which exists was already named from the beginning. Karasi B'Shem. Right? Karasi B'Shem Nikra Shemo. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, the one I set from the start as the one to build the Mishkan, I have already named him. I named him way back when. The rest of the pasuk says, it is known that he is man. What does that mean? While Adam was still a golem, a raw form, Hashem showed him each righteous person who would arise from him. And some are linked to Adam's head, some are linked to his hair, some are linked to his forehead, some from his eyes, his nose, his mouth, his ear, his earlobe. Who gets to be the earring? I don't know. But each aspect of Adam is represented in different descendants. The different parts of Adam, I think, represent different qualities of Adam, which they inherit. Right? This goes back to a completely separate concept, and that is the Chachamim are wondering, what does it mean for God to create a human being? Meaning, we know what it means when human beings create human beings. That we have a concept of, even before any understanding of genetics, we had some sense of, okay, they're human beings, and they generated a new human being out of them, and just like they're flawed, so their kid is also going to be human with all that entails. But if God creates a human being, like, divine things are supposed to be perfect. So what does that even mean, that God creates a human being? And so what the Medrash here is suggesting is that Adam has within him, he is the repository of all qualities. Everything that human beings can achieve, all the different traits of a human being, presumably good or bad, right, are all embodied in Adam. And then his descendants all have specific elements of those traits. Mm-hmm. You follow? Mm-hmm. You don't like this, Donnie?
I know. I think it's like the whole, every human being after is too difficult.
Why?
Because I always say, like, every person you look at has, like, is so different. Mm-hmm. How does Hashem? I like to think that just each person has a different sort of. It's hard.
But we have genetics. I mean, what this is adding is spiritual genetics.
I think it's interesting because each person has their own quality that could represent some unique special quality. And
right.
It's passed down, but it could be derived so many ways from so many different generations. Each person really is an individual. Mm-hmm. Really,
yeah, you know, it's the seeds are there, and each one is their own blend.
All from Adam.
Yes, it was all there within Adam, and by definition, within Chava as well, since she is part of Adam.
Wow,
okay.
Amazing.
That's the concept, but that means, again, applying this back to Bezalel, that Bezalel, Rei Karasi B'Shem, right, was from Nikra Shemo. Bezalel got his traits, his Chachma Bina Das, ability to run the Mishkan, because he was a descendant of Adam, and he had Adam's creative abilities. Clear? Okay, so here's our problem. And yes, Naomi, we for sure have talked about this issue of Yichus before, and I'm good with that. But I don't think we did the Bezalel.
No. I think we did it also in the sense that our ancestors had sinned or they are sinned.
Right. We all have traits.
It was in that context.
It was our ancestors sinned.
Right. Like, are they ours? So
So this is good. This is the positive side of that one.
Yeah.
That was the negative, and this is the positive. Okay.
So it really could have been anyone, not specifically. Right.
Okay. So the models that the Medrash is presenting, in which Bezalel is a product of his grandmother, a foretold, piece of God's vision, an heir to spiritual genetics from Adam. These fit within the Jewish vision of destiny. Right? I brought you one pasuk of many, many. I could have brought you a number five, where Hashem says, I'm going to remember my bris with Yaakov, I'm going to remember my bris with Yitzhak, I'm going to remember my bris with Abraham, and therefore, I'm going to help their descendants. Right? Rav Soloveitchik has a whole thing about the difference between bris avos and zechus avos, the covenant with our ancestors versus the merit of our ancestors. I'm not going to go into that right now. The bottom line, what you see from here, is familiar, right? In Shemoneh Esrei, we talk about how Hashem helped our ancestors. He should help us as well. We dive into Hashem and call him, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Because Hashem said to Moshe, that's what you're supposed to do. So the merit of ancestors helping their descendants is a piece of what you're seeing here with Bezalel, right? He has the merit of Miriam. The idea of a divine plan. In source number 6, Hashem sends us to Mitzrayim. He already told Abraham centuries before we were going to Mitzrayim, your children are going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs, right? Not centuries, but more than a century before. Hashem told Abraham that this was going to happen. And as far as spiritual genetics, look at source number 7 from the Kuzari. Now, I'm cheating by quoting the Kuzari because he's very into this idea. Not everybody is. But Jewish mystics love this idea. He's talking about the history of the world. The Chaver, who's the Jew who's speaking in the Kuzari, says that the world is 4,500 years old. 4,500 years from Adam. The specific calculation is clear. From the days of Adam and Shes and Enosh to Noach, Shem and Eber, Avim, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you have all the begats in the Torah, you get how long they lived. To Moshe, these men were joined together in the heart of man and his treasure. Each of them had children who were like shells, not resembling their fathers and not joined with them in the divine aspect. So in other words, as he sees it, there are special traits that Adam passes down to some descendants, and then there are others who didn't really catch that. They don't really have this special element of the ancestor. This count of years is established for these who had that divine element. He says, how does the Torah decide who it's going to record? Why is it that I only know about one descendant of Adam, not Adam, but of Enosh and Shes and Arpachshad and all that? I only get one line. It tells me how old they were. And the answer is because those are the ones who had that special neshama. They were few rather than many until Yaakov produced 12 tribes, all of whom were suited for the divine element, and that was found in a great nation. In other words, there's something unique that is passed down through their neshamos. Follow? So it makes sense. We call this yichus, right? Literally, it's not what yichus means, right? What does yichus literally mean?
Connection,
association, right? That's what it really means. But we use it to mean lineage, right? That's the way we talk about yichus. And the truth of the matter is that an emphasis on yichus to a certain extent makes sense. It makes sense. Whether you like it or don't like it, it makes sense. By which I mean, talk about it in the circumstance in which people most often quote Yichus, right? Which is?
Shidduchim.
Right. So they say, get someone from a good family. So I grew up, as many people in my milieu grew up, thinking, forget that. That's all a joke. That's not really relevant. And I'll meet whoever I meet. And if I like her and she likes me, then, who cares what family they're from? And then I got older, right? And I saw more of the world and have a much different view of the way things like that work. Because even though, parents don't control their children, nonetheless, they have a head start as an influence, Hopefully, assuming that they don't chase them in the other way, they have a head start as an influence. And they establish certain rules, hopefully positively. They create a certain precedent. So the reality is that Yichus does have a certain logic to it. Looking for someone from a certain family can make sense. it also fits within the general Jewish idea of destiny. In other words, leaving Yichus for a second, these arguments make sense from a destiny perspective. If Judaism believes in an omniscient God, right? I don't know how to reconcile that with free will. But if Judaism believes in a God who knows everything and who has a plan, and we believe that we exist not only as individuals, but as members of the Tzibur, as members of the Jewish community, then why shouldn't we believe in a concept of destiny? Right? You live in a world that doesn't like the idea of Yichus. Pop culture does not like the idea of Yichus. Pop culture does not like the idea of destiny. You make your own destiny. But I think that you can't really be honest and say it's not there within Judaism. It is there. Having now, spent the last few minutes supporting Yichus and destiny, we now move into saying, yeah, but Judaism doesn't believe in that at all. Take a look at source number 8. Classic Gemara Nedarim. I've quoted this once before, but I don't think it was in that year. Why is it that Torah scholars don't usually have children who are Torah scholars?
And
that's the Gemara says, and therefore it must be true. They usually it doesn't work out that way, says the Gemara. The Gemara says Hamid Chachamim.
Like rebbes, they pass it.
First of all, rebbes do not always pass it, father to son. Worth knowing. Sometimes it skips a generation. Sometimes it goes through an in-law. That's one point. But second, wielding power and even having fine character doesn't mean someone's a Talmid Chacham. They're being very specific here about it, and that's seen in the Gemara. I only brought you one line from it, but for one of the reasons the Gemara gives, not that we're going through right here, but one of the reasons the Gemara gives is because the Talmid Chacham senior in the family is disrespectful towards other people, discounts other people because they're not as knowledgeable. And so therefore their kid grows up to say, well, I don't want to be like that. So it's actually, aside from being their fault, it means that they're not people of good character. It's just a matter of just Torah knowledge. So the answer here, though, that I brought you, Rav Yosef, is the first answer in the Gemara. Shelo yomru Torah Yerusha Hilahem. God doesn't want Torah to be perceived as the province of this particular family. Right? We do know of scholarly families within Judaism. But there's a risk that people come to think, okay, so, yeah, that family, they're Talmidei Chachamim, because the father wasn't, the grandfather wasn't. I'm being male-specific, which I shouldn't. But nonetheless, the point is that's the way that people are going to look at it. So therefore, think about what the Gemara's implication is. It's not saying, therefore the kids won't learn. It's saying Hashem is going to intervene to make a point. This is anti-destiny. Right? If you have somebody who is a great Talmid Chacham, Hashem is going to make sure his kid doesn't learn Torah. In order to prevent people from thinking, you have to be part of that family to be a Talmid Chacham.
Well, you also, like you said before, you took out the part about this person obviously not having good midos.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about necessarily righteous people.
Correct. True.
A righteous Talmid Chacham would not have this.
Right. There are like 5 answers, though, in the Gemara as to why it's not conveyed. Take a look. It's a very interesting Gemara. But that's your... this argues against the whole destiny thing. That's number one. Number two, this is also a fun one. Source number 9, Gemara Menachos. Amrile Rabbanan Rabbi Preda. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Preda, you know who's showing up? Rabbi Ezra, that's a typo, sorry. Rabbi Ezra, who is the grandson of Rabbi Avtulus, who is the 10th generation from Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who was the 10th generation, I did this translation too quickly, sorry. I'll have to edit it later. The 10th generation from Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who was the 10th generation from Ezra, he is standing at the gate. You want to know who's out at the gate? This person who is a descendant of Ezra HaKohen. Omar, Rabbi prayed a response. Maikulei, he says, so what? Imbar Urian Hu Yoi. If he's somebody who has learned and is eligible to issue rulings, he's somebody who is halachically expert, great. And if he is worthy of issuing rulings, he's somebody who knows his stuff, and he has great ancestry, also great. But if he has great ancestors and he himself is not great, don't let him be consumed by fire. He says, who cares about the lineage? Lineage, he says, if anything, the lineage works against you. Right? Because if you have it and you don't live up to it, that's terrible. You're better off, you know, starting without the lineage, and if you don't become great, you didn't have these kinds of expectations. And if you do become great, that's wonderful. It's not about who your ancestors are. Right? I always like to point this out Shavuos time, that on Shavuos, we read Megillas Rus. Right? Who's the hero in Rus? Sorry? Rus! No! Rus is the hero in... It wasn't a trick question. Rus is the hero of Megillas Rus, right? On the holiday when we receive the Torah and mark ourselves as unique, the hero is the one who converted. Right? The person who came from the outside. Not the person who was born into it. Boaz has a nice role in Megillas Rus. Let's not take everything away from Boaz. But when you compare the treatment that they get in the Megillah and the way they're described, it's very clear. Rus is the hero of the story. The Boaz is the one who said, "Oh, let me help you. You can go glean behind my workmen." It's a whole different. It's not true. He also gave her picket and gifts. Let's be fair. And he married her. Fine. But you understand what I'm trying to say. The point here is that we play down the value of merit of the ancestor. We play down the value of this sort of predestination based on who your ancestors were. And I brought you a quote which isn't one of ours, but I like it anyway, in number 10 from the Roman Seneca, "He who boasts his race boasts glory, not his own." Right? If you boast because of who you came from, you didn't earn it. You just, you know, we're born into it.
So then why did we have to go back to because of Adam and Yaakov?
So...
And did Ruth get, like, David HaMelech came from her because of what she did, so that's the destiny piece also, right?
So, David comes from Ruth.
Right.
So you're saying that there is a destiny element in her descendants. Absolutely. But I could read that, as well as Nechama's point about we do invoke the merit of the Avos, to say that it's not about destiny. That's about calling in a favor. In other words, saying to God, help us because we had great ancestors. That doesn't mean dictate my life based on who my ancestors were. That now I'm going to be able to build a Mishkan just because of them. It's a difficult line to walk because you are saying, on the one hand, that's how Bezalel gets this role. But on the other hand, you're saying Hashem wants to davka show you that it's not about who you come from, it's about what you do. So we have a fundamental problem. Mm-hmm. We have a fundamental problem. So I wanted to address it by bringing two more midrashim. Also, on this same discussion about Bezalel. Source number 11. Again, same pasuk. Re'ei karasi b'shem. It's the same pasuk. When someone asks you, so you have a Dvar Torah for Shabbos, the answer is just Re'ei karasi b'shem. You have an hour? Behold, I have called the name. He says, this is one of seven people who were called multiple names. Some had four names. Eliyahu is with four names. There's a whole other discussion about Eliyahu, not for right now. Bezalel was called six names. What are Bezalel's six names? So the people call him Bezalel. And then Hashem has five other names that he gives Bezalel out of affection for him. And then we get these names. Re'iyah or Ra'ayah, seeing, because Hashem showed him to Moshe and all Israel, saying he's the one who's going to build the Mishkan. And he's also Shoval, because he made a nest, a Shovach, for God. And he's also Yachat. He placed God's awe among Israel. Yachat, Chet Taf, is a word associated with fear. Achumai, he bonded Israel with God. Icha is to bond, like Ach and Achot is a term for siblings. He made them like brothers to God, or alternatively, he placed God's awe, Ema, among Israel. And he's also Lahad, because he brought glory and beauty upon Israel, Hod and Hadar, and I give you parentheses at the end in the Hebrew, see Divar Hayamim Aleph, where you find all of these names associated with Bezalel. That's what the Medrash is building on. But the point is that Bezalel has six names here. These names describe not what was done to him or for him, but what he did. Right? These are all about Bezalel building a Mishkan, Bezalel bonding Israel with God, Bezalel bringing Hashem's awe among Israel. They're all about what Bezalel did, not what was done for him. That's number one. Number two is the Medrash source number 13. But in order to understand the source number 13, you have to take a look at number 12. This is also in our parsha. Hashem doesn't just give Bezalel the job. There are two people in charge. It's Bezalel and it's Aholiab. And I, behold, I have placed with him Aholiab, son of Achisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the heart of each knowledgeable person, I have placed knowledge, dot, dot, dot. Dan. Dan is a very interesting shevet to choose. Dan's mother is Bilha, right? Dan's mother is Bilha. Bezalel, we say, is from Yehuda. That's really interesting, right? Bilha is the shevcha of which one? Rachel, right? Bilha is the shevcha of Rachel. So now what you have is, number one, he's from the maidservant, and we know that they were treated differently, going all the way back to the beginning with Yosef. And number two, it's from Rachel, not from Leah. There's a certain antagonism that we would anticipate here, and a difference between them. And so the Medrash picks up on it in source number 13, Rabbi Chanina ben Pazi says, there is none greater than the tribe of Yehuda, none lowlier than the tribe of Dan, which came from the maids. In fact, Dan travels last among all the Shvatim. Hashem said, let him be matched with Bezalel, so that they will not mock him, and so that no one will be arrogant. For the great and small are equal before Hashem.
That's nice.
The Mishkan was made by these two tribes, and not just that, the Beis HaMikdash as well. Shlomo from Yehuda, and he has a fellow named Chirom, who is the son of a widow from Naphtali. Naphtali is Dan's brother, also from Bilha. So the pairing with Aholiyav is Davka, right?
It's symbolic of Shalom, you know, because the Mikdash and for the Mishkan.
Definitely. Definitely. So what emerges here, and what I'm trying to show with this sequence, is on the one hand, we saw these three opening midrashim, right, which really do, you know, make the case for predestination and for yichus, and you're a product of your ancestors, and that's just the way it is. So Bezalel gets to do what he does. It was part of a divine plan. It's because of the merit of Miriam. It's genes he got from Adam. And we said, like, that has support. Don't kid yourself. It has support within Judaism. At the same time, we challenge that. We say Hashem is willing to make a point and say, Talmud Chacham doesn't get a kid who's a Talmud Chacham, because I want people to know it's not about inheritance. The line from Rabbi Preda, that I don't care who his father is, I want to know, can he learn? That's his challenge. So it can't really be all about the destiny. And in fact, in these two midrashim that we just saw, number 11 and number 13, we highlight that it's not. Number one, Bezalel is praised and associated with these six names because of what he did, not because of what others did. And number two, in source number 13, we're told that Davka Hashem picks people to build the Mishkan who represent the very opposite Yichus. So, I don't think you can neglect either side. I think you have to recognize both in Judaism. But I think that what you also need is a pragmatic attitude that says, you know, it could be that, you know, I've got a great grandparents who did something, and therefore I'm going to benefit somehow from that, but that's not the way I'm going to live my life. That's not the way I'm going to look at other people. Right? It has to be based on what I am going to do. And here I brought you from the Imre Shammai, Rabbi Shammai Ginsburg, commentary to the Chumash. That's a very sharp line, which he says, Amr al-Chacham Echad. They said about a certain sage. I don't know who the sage was, but whoever was, he had a sharp tongue. They said about the certain Chacham, who was not from a family with Yichus, that Shekine Bo Ish Bor Ve'am Ha'aretz. There was somebody who was ignorant and unlearned, who was jealous of him. And he made fun of the Chacham, and he said, you know, I have better Yichus than you. And the Chacham said back to him, that's fine, with you the lineage ends, with me it begins. Sorry?
Your husband said that all the time. Yeah.
Some people come from Yichus, and some people make their own Yichus. Well, that's the line. That's the Imre Shammai's line right here. He was the one. Yeah, there you go. So I think that's a really important idea that we can take from it. And yeah, we've done negative side of Yichus. Now we've got a positive side of it as well.
So
Basala
was given this as a gift, or it was.
So we're not resolving the problem, because keep in mind, when you're dealing with midrashim like this, the job of the midrash is not to make an overarching statement of Jewish thought. The job of the midrash is to explain a pasuk, and this pasuk is really, the midrashim are all about re'u karasi b'shem, or re'e karasi b'shem, and this word re'e, and that's really what they're focused on, and they're channeling different streams within Judaism, and they're presenting you essentially with two different possibilities, both of which are true to what Torah believes, and we have no way to know which one is right. One which is saying it's from this, and the other which is saying it's what he created, and I have to admit a certain bias in this case towards the predestination based on source number one. Because Hashem says, I filled him with Ruach Elokim. At the same time, you could say no. He had developed a certain worthiness, and therefore Hashem gave him this Ruach Elokim. So you could make it fit either way.
Right,
it's just interesting to me. This passage is in the other thing when you read about Shem Tzvi Chokhtin, or Yeshua, other people, where it's not written. Right, although often it is. And like in Shoftim, it's sometimes about the Hilah of Ruach Hashem. Right, the Ruach Hashem was upon him. You take a guy like Shimsho, right? It's before he's born.
That. Right, like, it was just
right. I mean, it was his mother's merit, but...
The same thing, his merit.
Yeah. Maybe. Certainly she has a role in it, right, as she's told about all the things she's supposed to observe before he's even born. So the review questions, I think we just basically went through them. Right, how he got the job, how does Nedarim argue against emphasis on lineage, we saw that, and about the not making Torah into inheritance, and how Batala's partner, Ahaliyah, demonstrates that lineage is not considered determinative.
I love that. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.